As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Hooky? Yeah, today's the day to get out and play a little hooky. If not, here's the good news I have for you. We're in the 80s tomorrow, we're in the 80s on Thursday, and we're in the 80s on Friday, all with sunshine the next few days, and clouds and sunshine mixed the latter part of the week. Follow along. You can see the forecast at WGCLradio.com. The fourth Tuesday of each month, we check in at the MCCSC, and we head over to the administrative building, and we knock on the door of the superintendent, Dr. Jeff Hollswald, and hello, are you anybody home?
Nobody's home. Not after you just told our students to play hooky, Mike. What's going on?
No. Your employees, not your students. Gee whiz.
Come on. Yeah. So you're saying if our employees aren't there, the students will come in. They'll fix lunch. They'll open their books and they'll be self-directed.
Everybody, meet outside underneath the oak tree, wow, and let's have school out there. It's perfect out today.
It is perfect. But we can enjoy the weather at like 3 o'clock after school, correct?
I agree. But the one thing I talked about earlier was it's not depressing. It's just the time of year. Friday, the sun set at 7:38. Today it sets at 7:33. Don't worry, though. We'll fall back at some point and gain hours, these mythical hours. We lose them, we gain them, and everything else. You know, I can tell what time of the year it is. I don't need a calendar. I don't need a weather rock, nothing. I know if you call, it's always the fourth Tuesday of the month, so I could be living
it's
in a vacuum, and that's
fourth
it.
Fourth Tuesday of a month. You don't need the sun to rise at a certain time to know that, right?
No, absolutely.
Actually, the darker it is in the morning, the better I look getting ready. You know, if you can't see yourself
that.
In a mirror, it's better. I'm less likely to match. I don't know about you, but sometimes the black pants and the navy suit coat, it looks okay until I get to the office.
In radio, Dr. Hollswald, you wear a tuxedo, a top hat, and tails every day, just in case.
I'm sure you do. Oh my goodness,
it's good to hear your voice. You've been busy this school year. I haven't spoken to you we were just a couple weeks in as we got to the August meeting. Obviously, we've been through Labor Day. We've got a break coming up next weekend, fall break. I know people are excited about that. We chop up the time a little bit easier. Just your general impressions here, what, 8 weeks into school?
Yeah, it's been great. As we've talked about, we've moved from originally about over a half of our students learning online, hybrid models. This year, 99%+ of our students are in person. Obviously, we've had a huge increase in demand for transportation, and things are going well. I see the students focused. I see our teachers enjoying their work. And, of course, we have protocols and procedures in place to try to limit the spread of COVID, but it just feels a little more normal than last year, and you can just sort of sense things are slowly returning to normal, and that's a good thing. Our teachers love teaching; they do what they do best, and they have overcome a lot of obstacles in the last 18 months. But we still have some challenges before us. But I just see our students focused. I see learning taking place every day, and it's good to work for MCCSC.
Now, one of the headaches we had early in the school year was whether it was on the school grounds where we had tons of people dropping off and picking up kids, a number that probably we haven't seen in a few years, and bus routes, bus drivers, either new folks that were trying to figure out how to make it work or multiple drivers running multiple shifts. Has that settled itself down here over the last few weeks?
It is getting better, but we are definitely not to an optimal level, and I'll tell you why, and it's a really good question. The board just recently approved some entire new package of technology as well as support services that will tremendously enhance the work we do. Now, of course, when you agree to purchase something, it doesn't mean that it's going to be on the doorstep the next day. So we are running some route and run efficiencies. We're starting to manually tweak our routes, looking at the routes that are consistently running late, to make some manual changes now to adjust our services. we are getting more reliable. Our school messenger, if you will, our Here Comes the Bus app, we're improving those services. So we do see noticeable improvements every week. But what I will tell you is I think you'll see substantial improvements that will start being enacted in the spring with a full deployment of new technologies in next fall. And so a couple examples real quickly on this. If you can imagine, not only have we had staffing challenges and we've been short about 40 bus drivers, right? You probably saw the news yesterday, Pike Township in Indianapolis announced they are closing for the rest of the week, moving to e-learning because they don't have enough bus drivers.
I did
see
that.
So we are doing... Yeah, so we're doing everything we can to keep our schools open. So that means we're having to double up a couple routes when we're short drivers and other strategies like that. And we're pulling other people with CDLs to assist. So, but right now, with our driver shortages, with some of our sub-drivers, our systems are pretty antiquated. So we gave this example. I don't know if you ever remember vacationing. You may not be this old, but 20 or 30 years ago, when you would actually go to AAA and they would print out like pages of maps and you would flip them as you drove. Do you remember this, Mike?
I was not driving those. Yes, I do remember that.
Okay, so you're not going to admit your age.
I'm on the cusp.
Okay, so but we sort of have that system now. We have not invested the money to update our mapping software. And fortunately, with our stimulus funds from the federal government, that's one of the ways we can use it. So we have purchased all new route and run software. It will communicate directly with families. It will put more of the experience you might have on an Uber with an iPad that updates based on the students that are on the bus, so that we're not manually trying to manage the routes. So we have major transportation overhauls taking place in the next year to get ready for the beginning of the 22-23 school year. And our families have been really patient, and we are improving each and every week. Our on time, our reliability gets better. But in some of the systems that we need to really take it to the next level, will take about a semester to implement.
Now, I understand that implementation process, but buying the system does not come with drivers. That seems to be the crux of the situation. Just like restaurants can't find people to serve and cook food, what's hey, I want you to tell me right this second how you fix this problem. But it's not new, or it's just not in your purview. This is happening all over the place.
Well, it may fix itself a little bit, and I say that because we are getting more applicants. We're training our drivers, and honestly, we think it will help with retention because the lack of modern software can be frustrating to people who don't know every single street name in
So you think this will lead to more applicants because of the ease of the transition? Gotcha.
I think we're gonna have more retention. Like we'll have drivers that will come in. And they'll start, but then the retention rate isn't great because it's so frustrating because we don't have a lot of modern software. And you know, when you get lost a few times and, you know, on manual maps and we don't have great software to track which students are on our bus, that's coming. So we think that this is going to improve the experience of our bus drivers. We already are pretty competitive in pay, but we're continuing to look at that. So we have some other things that will come with that. As we get more efficient, you know, we may be able to add routes. We may change our routes. We may, you know, have conversations about what another tier looks like. Because what parents tell us is they want the students on the bus as little amount of time as possible. But they want our services to be reliable. You know, there's some reliability in those services. You know, there's a smaller range of time by which a student gets picked up and dropped off. So our new software system will do a better job of providing some of that analysis. And we think it'll improve not only the experience of our students and our families, but also of our bus drivers. So we hope that our current staff shortage problems are temporary.
And we hope so as well, because...
And if not, you need to get a CDL.
That's exactly right. We'll have to figure out for me to get behind the wheel. Jeff Oswald.
Oh, my. I don't think our insurance will allow you to work for us,
Probably. As long as you have one of those fancy backup cameras, I'll be just fine on that.
Oh, really?
No, not at all. Now, you mentioned... You mentioned, this is you now, not me. I had nothing to do with this. You mentioned getting some funding from COVID relief, and you talked about using some of it here and there and everywhere else.
Yep.
Where does this grant funding come from, and what can you use it on? I know because people say, well, just buy a bunch of bus drivers. Well, you can't use it on salary, yeah. I'm guessing, can you?
Yeah, in some cases, in most cases, we cannot. We can if we add a staff member, but we can't to just do across the board, for example, raises, because every single expenditure has to go back to certain conditional pieces. It has to be related to COVID. It has to be challenges with COVID. It has to be related to accelerating learning, you know, for any learning loss that took place because of COVID. There's a lot of things related to instruction. So we were able to use a lot of our first round of money to hire some additional teachers for online learning because obviously it took more staff to do that. So there's one example. We were able to, because of some efficiency pieces, to do some of our transportation services related to improving our services through technology. One of the problems is if we're already short 40 drivers, you know, hiring 20 more is going to lead it with 60 vacancies instead of 40. So, you know, it's not as easy as just hiring more drivers, because if you can't fill the positions you have, it's difficult to create more vacancies. So there are complications with just salary increases, for example. We can add more staff, so like we said, we've done that with teachers. We have also been able to use that for our air filtration systems, our HVAC systems. We've improved airflow. That's a huge part of the grant. So we spent a significant amount of that money, or plan to, on replacing and improving our HVAC systems at a lot of our schools that were older, so that it circulates air more, it pulls in more clean air, changes the airflow a little bit. So a lot of the money has gone towards that. Of course, a lot of it is related to learning. So in addition to hiring more teachers, we've had Jumpstart programs. We've had additional mentor or tutoring services that we're looking into, all the things that our students need in order to either get caught up or just to get refocused and to continue to accelerate their learning on an individual basis. So that's another example. Of course, we did do a vaccination stipend to encourage our staff members to get vaccinated. That's an allowance within the grant. So then we spent a ton of money on cleaning supplies, on masks, on all those things associated with trying to get our schools reopened. So those are just a few examples of things that we can spend the money on.
Now, how much of that has been spent? What is left, and what is the next plan for usage?
Oh, great question, and not very much. It's come in three amounts. ESSER 1, which a lot of people call the CARES Act, that was passed under the Trump administration's leadership. And then ESSER 2 and 3, those are larger amounts. Those were passed under the Biden presidency. And so we started on the CARES Act. It had a lot less restrictions. And most of that money we spent on hiring additional teachers for online learning. We've started spending money now on ESSER 2. That's a larger amount. That's about $7 million, whereas the first one was about $1.8 million. And then the last bucket, if you will, is about $16 million. So roughly it all adds up to about $25 million. So we've purchased a lot of technology. I didn't mention that earlier. So additional laptops, devices, so that we could do more online remote learning back when we had more students learning remotely. So we spent a lot of money on technology. We're updating our HVAC systems. So we are beginning to spend the second bucket of money, and we spent quite a bit of that. And, of course, the third bucket of money is what we're planning for now. It was delivered to us a little later. And we have until September 30th, 2024, to commit that those expenditures. And we have until December 31st, 2024, to spend the last stimulus funds. So we have another 3 years to spend those funds.
Excellent. So it's kind of like your new rainy day fund if you didn't spend all your rainy day fund trying to get through COVID.
That's right.
So that's interesting.
Except it has a few more restrictions.
Yeah, just a couple.
Yes.
Not bad, though. It's better than opening the
Absolutely.
Pantry door and not having anything to eat. Dr. Jeff Hosswald
right.
is our guest this afternoon. And tonight, they will have a school board meeting. The MCCSC will gather. And look at this, a public hearing tonight about the district's 2020 budget, which totals almost $143 million. Tell me about how we put this together and where we compare to previous years and what we're going to do for all the fun things that go along with this. And tonight's hearing means anybody can come in and vocalize whether they are all for this or all against it or even parts of it.
There you go. So it's our 2022 budget is a calendar year budget. We have a hearing. And it is pretty eye-opening, $143 million. A lot of that money comes from our education fund. That's the money that comes from the state that is provided to us on a per-pupil basis. And I'm going to generalize, but that money, which is about $73 million, and it's pretty similar to past year's funding, it's slightly increased. Mostly because we have a slight uptick in enrollment from last year. It's down from 2 years ago. We lost enrollment at the beginning of the pandemic. It's gone back up a little bit, but we're still less than we were for the 19-20 school year. But that money is mostly what we spend for our teachers, for our paraprofessionals, our supplies, our school staffing expenditures. So that's the biggest part of that. So if you notice, out of $143 million, over half of that is in our education fund, and a large percentage of that goes towards our teachers, our paraprofessionals, and our school-based staffing. Then at the local level, through local property taxes, and we've actually seen our local property taxes stay steady. We have pretty low tax rates. I think we're in the top 10 lowest taxing school districts in the state. So we have a very low tax rate. So that tells you we're pretty fiscally responsible. It also tells you we have a high assessed valuation. There's two ways to look at that, right,
yeah,
Mike?
That's exactly
so,
right.
So MCCSC has a lot of value, assessed valuation, in the value of the properties in our school district. So that helps. So when people say they have low taxes, you know, sometimes say, well, is that because you have higher assessed valuation, higher property values? You know, there's so many factors. But nonetheless, we do have a low tax rate, and we do try to maintain that. We're $40 million from local tax dollars goes into our operations fund. That operations fund is what we use to pay everything from electricity, some of our general day-to-day building maintenance. Of course, when you have 25 buildings or so, there's a lot of expenditures that come out of that. It's how we pay for our bus drivers. It's what we buy our buses with in many cases. So, of course, building maintenance I mentioned. So it's just a lot of those expenditures, a lot of the operations expenditures in terms of the district level. So in terms of paying the people that kind of just sort of do the day-to-day operations, everything from payroll to, I guess, the superintendent, those come out of those operations fund. And then we also have some pension debt. It's a pretty very small amount of pension debt that we are slowly paying off. That's $1 million, and those debts were taken on back in for most districts in the late 90s, and so there's a period of time to pay that off. Debt service is what we use. Our debt service rate tries to stay pretty level as well. That's what we do. For example, when we just built Tri-North Middle School, we try to take on a same amount of debt every year, and that debt is what we use to build new buildings versus generally maintaining buildings. And then we have our referendum fund. We're in the fifth out of 6 years of our referendum funding that has been passed by the voters, and we use that to increase and improve teacher pay, to hire librarians, to buy supplies, and a whole lot of needed things that doesn't exist in the current funding. And that's about $11 million this year in our budget. So anyway, it all adds up to about $143 million. And again, a majority of those funds go, a high majority of our funds goes towards staff salaries. And within our education fund, over half of our expenditures goes towards paying our teachers. So we are not only pretty fiscally responsible with our dollars and pretty fiscally conservative, but we use above the state recommended minimum, significantly above in terms of how the percent we use to pay for our teacher salaries.
And Dr. Hoswald, if people would like to hear all the fun stuff or express their opinions on the budget, they can do so tonight. Tell me how.
6 o'clock. Show up before 6 o'clock. You can sign up to speak, to make a comment about the budget. You can, of course, sign up to make comments about other things. That happens a little later in the meeting. The meeting starts at 6 o'clock, so you got to be there by six and sign up, and they'll have a hearing. And of course, our director of business, John Kinney, who is probably a lot smarter than I am, will kind of go over the budget in generalities and say this is sort of the amount, this is sort of how it breaks down, and then we open it up for any public comments.
And that will be tonight at the CoLab, 553 East Miller Drive, right here in lovely Bloomington. You have a busy night ahead. I will let you get to your meeting preparation, but we thank you as always for joining our program. And I hope to talk to you a little quicker and see how this meeting went and our next steps, because we know on October 22nd, our next school board meeting, that's when the budget will be adopted. Do I have my timeline right here?
You do. Our next meeting is when we will adopt the budget. And before then, as you mentioned, we have fall break coming up.
That's
so
exciting.
We wish everyone a great fall break. And we're getting back in. There's so many school activities. So go to our school websites, our district site, read about the amazing things our students are doing. You know, whether it's I have all kinds of notes, our Sounds of South and their performance of Carousel coming up, some of our community conversations. As well as, of course, our athletic events, our STEM buses are out.
Well, you better come back then. You can't go away for a month and come back. Too long.
I'll come back sooner. I'll come back sooner and we'll talk about it. Good. And I can sing a song from Carousel.
That's exactly right. With me on mute, we will definitely do
on
that.
Mute. You don't want your drivers driving
hey,
off the
hey,
road.
Hey, I sing in the all shower. Right. The water turns off. It's a bad deal. Bad deal. Hey, thanks for your time. I know how busy you are, and I appreciate
it,
all your great info. Don't be a stranger, please.
All right. Okay. And thanks for all you do for our community.
Thanks,
and for
buddy.
Our schools.
Dr. Jeff Hoswald.